Troy Yar of Galaire. Hello, everyone, wherever you are. And Cead Mila Falcha, you are very welcome to our this week's History and Community programme. It's brought to you by Dublin North Bay Tourism, and we're here on Near 90.3 FM and available worldwide on the web, near.ie. My name is Dennis McIntyre, and the whole purpose of our programmes is simply to make people more aware of community and community history. And when we say history, we're talking about sort of national history, we're talking about local history, physical history, social history, religious history, literary history, economic history, and cultural history. And our long-term aim down the road, some of us live long enough to achieve it, is that one day we might realise, open or create a visitor or heritage centre somewhere along the North Bay area. And I ask anybody who has an interest in such a project to contact us. We have the hard work done, the research and the collecting of memorabilia. All we need is a base, a home. Maybe someone along our route from the Customs House to Howth might have an unused room to share with us, or an unused shed or garage, or office space. Now in these COVID times, I'm sure there's loads of spaces going to begging. You never know what could come of it. An existing business might like to accommodate us. We surely would make an attractive place to visit with all the local history that would be on show. Anyways, I ask anyone with an interest in such a project, please contact us. And for any communication, our email address is dublinnorthbaytourism@gmail.com, and our website is www.dublinnorthbaytourism.com. And as regards our weekly programme, if you want to listen again to any of the programmes, simply Google Near FM, go to Listen Again, go to Search and type in History and Community, or maybe my name, Dennis McIntyre, and I'm sure you'll find us. Okay, well, I usually start off with a few anniversaries, be they deaths or births or whatever, that happened in the last week since our last programme. And a few I'll mention today are playwright Dennis Johnson. Many of you will be familiar with Johnson's work. He was born in Dublin on June the 18th, 1901. He had 5 plays produced at the Gate Theatre and 4 at the Abbey Theatre. Now, the thing about Johnson was he was very, very original. And he won many, many awards. And any of his plays that are on, I'd certainly advise you to, you know, if they're back on in the theatres of Dublin or anywhere, to go and see them. Painter Walter Frederick Osborne, again, a name that will be familiar for those particular artists. He was born in Rathmines in Dublin on June the 18th, 1859. Now, he painted in both oil and watercolour. He captured rural and town, pretty small town, life in both Ireland and England. And if you go to the National Gallery, you'll see many, many of his works on display. Now, revolutionary soldier, author and United Irishman, Theobald Wolfe Tone. He was born at Stafford Street, Dublin. That's today's Wolfe Tone Street, there in the, right in the city centre up Henry Street Way. And he was born on June the 20th, 1763. Now, he founded the United Irishmen in 1791, and many would, and I certainly would, regard him as probably the father of Irish republicanism. And he tried many times to get help from France to achieve the goal of an independent Ireland. Now, former Taoiseach John A. Costello, he was born in Dublin on June the 20th, 1891. He was a Taoiseach in Ireland's first 2 coalition governments, and it was he who declared Ireland a republic in September 1948. Historian John Dalton, he died on June the 24th, 1867. Now, he was born in Bessville County, Westmeath, and he published a number of history books. But Dubliners will remember him mainly for a highly respected history of the County of Dublin. The poet James Clarence Mangan, again, will be a familiar name from your school days, if nothing else. He died on June the 20th, 1849. He was born at Fishamble Street, Dublin, and he had a kind of a miserable life, really, and he died in poverty. He was of a melancholic nature, and you'll probably best remember him for his version of Irish poems like My Dark Rosaline and The Woman of Three Cows. And Pyrrhus Beasley, in more modern times, a revolutionary and writer, he died on June the 27th, 1965. Now, Pyrrhus fought in the 1916 Rising and became director of publicity for the IRA, but he then voted in favour of the treaty, the Anglo-Irish Treaty, thus banning the IRA or whatever. And he wrote many, many works, including A Life of Michael Collins. And the last one I'll mention today is a more recent one as well. A famed Roscommon football, Gaelic footballer, those of you who follow sport, will remember Dermot Early. He would go down as one of the great players never to win in our Ireland. Well, he died on January the 23rd, 2010. He was just 62. He was a high-ranking officer with the Irish Army and with the UN forces, and he eventually became chief of staff with the Irish Army. He was from 2007 to 2010. Now, the gremlin's in my throat for a second. We'll move on to quiz time. And again, I'm delighted with all the many responses we're getting to the programme generally and to our quiz. And again, to remind you, the whole purpose of the quiz is to, again, invigorate your interest in local history and test your knowledge on local things and so on. And we give a prize each week of a book to the winner, and the usual of the number of winners we have go into a hat, and we draw out one winner. And if you missed the questions on radio this week or today or whatever, you just simply go to Facebook or you'll get them online in the Instagram or whatever at Dublin North Bay Tourism. And again, thanks for your ongoing interest in our programme and for your quiz answers. Now, first of all, I'll deal with the answers to last week's quiz. And if you remember, and some of you got a bit puzzled with the first one in particular, and indeed with the second, so I didn't have as many correct answers as we normally have. The first one was, what are we? East, west and middle we lie, water all around, and boats galore. Well, them are the three piers in Howth Harbour, the east pier, the west pier and the middle pier. Water all around, obviously, and boats galore. So that was the three piers in Howth Harbour. The second one was we the Near FM one. We said we broadcast from the studios of Near FM, this radio programme. But we asked, can you tell us what the letters Near stand for? If you like, Near is an acronym for what? Well, it's an acronym for North East Area Radio. Okay, now this week's questions. And the first one is, if people in Clontarf in particular will be on the lookout for this. Well, anyone travelling to town should be aware of it. The familiar landmark railway bridge across the Clontarf Road, close to its junction with the Howth Road at Fairview, was constructed in 1843 and considered an engineering triumph at the time. The bridge is familiarly known by a few pet or nicknames. And my question is, can you give us one of these names? Now, I'll read that question again. The familiar landmark railway bridge across the Clontarf Road, close to its junction with the Howth Road at Fairview. This bridge was constructed in 1843 and considered an engineering triumph at the time. The bridge is familiarly known by a few pet or nicknames. Can you give us one of these names? Second question. What national, actually all Ireland, sports body has recently moved its headquarters from Howth to the Sport Ireland campus at Abbottstown in West Dublin? Now, again, I'll read that second one again. What national sports body, it's actually an all Ireland sports body, has recently moved its headquarters from Howth to the Sport Ireland campus in Abbottstown in West Dublin? And again, as usual, as I say, if you miss them, you'll get them on Instagram or Facebook, and you'll send the answers back into Instagram and Facebook as per normal. And entries, we'd like our entries in, we need our entries in by this day, the day before our programme next week. That will be June the 29th, isn't it? And we'll take it from there. Okay, we'll take a little break from music now and we'll get on to the main part of our programme. And we're going to play, we had Phil in it before. Phil, of course, lived in for many, many years with his family in Claremont Road in Howth. And he owned a hotel in Howth, which he bought for his mother. And he's buried in St. Fintan Cemetery on Carrickback Road in Sutton. So here we'll have Phil with The Boys Are Back in Town. That was Mr. Phil Lynn up there, whose music no doubt will live on for generations. Now, this week I wanted to have a look at this whole subject of transport. And we'll have a look at it generally first before we come down specifically to transport in our Dublin North Bay area. And, you know, you'd get bamboozled or whatever if you look at, first of all, transport on land. Then you have air transport, if you like, the whole aviation thing, and then transport on water. But we'll be dealing with the land transport because in days gone by, of course, aviation and modern ships on that didn't simply exist. Anyway, Shanks Mare was our earliest form of transport. And if you rose in the world, you might own a donkey, or even a donkey and cart. The better off folk travelled by horse. Now, before the advent of railways in Ireland, transport within the country was by road and internal waterways. There was a reasonably good network of roads by the end of the 18th century. Now, when we say roads, the network was there, but not roads as we know them today. Obviously, you're really talking about sort of dirt tracks. There was no, obviously, tarmac at them or anything like that. But the roads were poor and difficult to travel on. They were only suitable for light traffic of the time. And again, when we use the word traffic, we're not talking about motor traffic. We're talking about what I said earlier, the donkey and cart and the horses and so on. And certainly the roads were not fit to carry heavy loads. In winter, many roads were impassable. Thus, in pre-railway days, water transport was the mode of transport used for heavy goods. The canals, in their relatively short prime days, replaced the roads as a means of transport for the interior of Ireland. By 1817, both the Grand and Royal Canals linked Dublin with the River Shannon. Barges and tow horses were the order of the day. The main items carried on the canals were agricultural products, such as corn and flour. They were ferried to Dublin for export, and manufactured goods sent from Dublin to the country. And of course, Guinness, the Guinness Brewery of St. James's Gate, they made extensive use of the canals and to supply their product to every nook and cranny throughout the country. It's a way that Guinness became so popular. They made full use of the canals. They were the main users of the canals, really, the famous Royal Canal and the Grand Canal. Now, since the years before the Act of Union in 1800, passengers and goods, services for these, between the larger towns in Ireland, was provided by horse-drawn mail coaches. Ireland had a postal service since 1660. But letter delivery, for example, was extremely slow, as travelling by coach from, say, Dublin to Cork could take as long as 3 or 4 days. Incidentally, the very first regular stagecoach service between Dublin and Belfast began in 1752. And slow coach travel carried the extra risk of being held up by a highwayman or brigands who quickly relieved you of your valuables. Now, the introduction of Bianconi stagecoach service, remember Bianconi of Italian, by the name of Italian extraction, of course. He began his coach service in 1815, and he greatly improved the whole mail coach service, and he challenged all existing services with his faster and cheaper service. Bianconi's coach system peaked in the mid-1840s, when he had 100 cars on the road. They were mainly, I suppose, in the South Leinster, Munster areas, mainly. But his peaked in the 40s because the railways were beginning to gradually take over. Now, if we look overall, roads, canals and railways greatly helped communication. They helped unite the country by networking its length and breadth. Generally, the development of transport and an organised regular transport system altered the countryside and helped its development and evolution. The railways in particular helped change and improve the economy and had a huge social impact, as well as making travelling easier and more accessible. But it took many years to develop a railway network in Ireland. The first railway to open in the country was a 6-mile suburban stretch between Dublin, that's Westland Row, which is now Pier Street Station, between Dublin and Dunleary, which was then Kingstown. And that happened in 1834, the very first railway stretch in Ireland. Then, for about 6 years after the passing of the Railway Regulation Act in 1844, and by the way, there were a number of railway acts passed between 1840 and 1893, mainly to do with giving the passengers comfort and fair play, because again there was exploitation, like there always is in new novel ideas. Now, new lines were laid connecting Cork, Galway and Belfast with Dublin. As further lines were laid, the interior of the country was opened up more and more and made accessible, and had a major influence generally on life in Ireland in the second half of the 19th century, and that is the era after the famine. And of course, Ireland was to change. The famine was a great watershed in Irish history, because it really signalled the end of the mud cabin and that kind of an Ireland, and the people who remained behind. They said the reason this famine happened, I don't want to go into it in detail now, but we don't own the land. So the fight for the land war started, and the railways came along at the same time, and the whole country began to change. And the first in our area, in the North Dublin Bay area, the first iron horse, as some people call them, the trains, ran on May the 24th, 1844. It began running between Dublin and Drogheda. And that, in March 1875, became part of the Northern Railway Line. Now, eventually, seven small railway lines came together to form what came to be known as the GNRC, the Great Northern Railway Company. And since the opening of the Dublin-Drogheda line, that's the one that goes up right through our territory that we talk about from... from Amiens Street through Clontarf and through Raheny and off heading for Drogheda. Now, plans were laid to organise a branch line to Howth. Howth isn't directly on the line, of course. And this project was overseen by William Dargan. Now, anybody into the history of Irish railways will know the name William Dargan. He's regarded as the father of Irish railways. And a single line from Howth Junction. Now, again, if you know your dart nowadays, Howth Junction, it's now called Howth Junction-Donnymead. Well, from there, a branch line to Howth was duly opened on the 30th of July, 1846. And now the trams were coming. Now, on the island of Ireland, horse-drawn trams were first used in a place called Fintona in County Tyrone in 1854. The very first horse-drawn trams in Dublin began operating between College Green and Rathgar in 1872. The earliest one in what I call our part that we deal with here in North Dublin, prior to 1872, there was a stagecoach service between Dublin and Howth. Now, it passed through the notorious Ballybough Mud Island and actually had to have an armed escort. I'm sure the people in Ballybough and Mud Island will smirk at that now, but again, maybe it's something to be, in many ways, a great history to be proud of. But it actually had to have an armed guard. Now, the first tram service from the city towards Howth began in 1873 and first served only as far as Annesley Bridge, later extending to Dollymount. Now, the early trams were pulled by a team of horses with what were known as trace horses or tip horses helping on hills. And a typical hill now would be, if you know your area from out from Amiens Street, a bridge called the Newcomen Bridge, and it goes up like that and down again. So the ordinary pair of horses or even four pulling a tram full of people mightn't be able to get it over the incline, so you had tip horses on standby to help get over the hills. Now, from the mid 1890s, horse-drawn trams began to be replaced by electric power trams, and these were operated by the Dublin United Tramway Company, known as the DUTC. Clontarf had a tram shed or stable on the site of the present day bus garage, if you know it. And if you look at the building closely, you can see clearly the old building where a new part was added. Now, the first section of this track to be electrified was between Annesley Bridge and Dollymount, and the first electric tram ran on it in November the 11th, 1897. Soon the rest of the Clontarf track to the city, right to the centre, was electrified, and the first electric car to the centre of the city, and the centre at that time was at Nelson's Pillar, where the spire is today, from any suburb was the one from Dollymount, which arrived at the pillar at 7:10 a.m. on March the 19th, 1898. The Clontarf line was actually a pioneer in both Ireland and Britain for the use of high-tension electric current on an overhead line wires with substations. Now, the route from the city centre to Clontarf was operated by the staff of the DUTC, the Dublin United Tram Company. In 1898, the Clontarf and Hill of Howth Tramshed Company was formed, and an agreement was made with the between the two to run trams from the city to Howth. So the Clontarf-Howth line eventually came into operation in July 1900. It ran by way of Blackbanks and Sutton, and it proved to be a smooth, fast and efficient service, and it was to last until 1941. Now, as we will keep one eye on the clock, we'll have to stop it there for today, and we'll develop that further in our next programme and come along to a subject very dear to most people interested in trains, and that is the famous Hill of Howth tram, which eventually was taken off in 1959. We'll come to that next week. So in the meantime, I look forward to your answers to the quiz, and I will leave you now with our signature tune again, and say thanks for listening, thanks for your interest, and slán go fóill until next week.